And good evening, I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Tonight on the show, we're going to be taking a closer look at the Philippines and the case against the news site Rappler, which has garnered international attention. That's coming up in about 10 minutes or so, but first, some news. The National Population and Family Development Board, also known as LPPKN, under the Women, Family and Community Development Ministry, has appointed UMNO MP for Parit, Muhammad Nizar Zakaria, as its chairman. Now, for those who are not familiar, LPPKN provides family planning services and screening for cervical cancer and access to oral contraceptives for married women. Now, Nizar Zakaria replaces Dr. Narimah Awin, whose experience includes more than 30 years in the Ministry of Health, including a stint as Director of Family Health Development. Dr. Narimah has also served as Regional Advisor for Maternal and Reproductive Health for several WHO regional offices. So this is particularly interesting, Sharad, to note that Nizar's appointment comes amid this conversation about the necessary qualifications needed to head a government agency, right?
Yeah, Melissa, and also there are all kinds of other, maybe even legacies of the Pakatan Harapan government, where certain narratives and discussions were opened up, including the question of empowering women in leadership, of empowering technocrats, of having individuals of merit, and also, of course, increasing diversity. And the question is, in all these instances we see, the removal of qualified professional women from leadership positions, the replacement not with other professionals, but actually politicians from the federal parliament, to be precise. And so all these, I think, have become points of discussion for many. So every time, and this is just yet another instance of a highly qualified woman being removed from her post.
Yeah, and I'm very curious to know what Nizar Zakaria's stand is on reproductive health, education and rights. He hasn't actually come up to say, granted, I think the appointment was very recent. But, you know, Dr. Narimah has made her views very clear. She's got extensive experience in this. I wonder whether, you know, this will be a step forward for the LPPKN or, you know, and see some progress in that. I think it's very important. You're absolutely right about the, you know, replacing qualified technocrat woman with someone who is not, is a male and a politician. But, you know, whether that was the right pick for this role is something I would have killed to be a fly in the
room.
In the wall.
Yeah, the question
that
is, why isn't this public? I mean, why aren't we actually getting the reasons behind some of these removals?
Rationale.
Because it's not simply a question of a new government needing to change. It's we must think of policy continuity. We must think of all those elements that go in every time somebody is switched out for another person.
Yes.
And, you know, you think there should be compelling reasons for switching somebody up, especially midstream, right? So they haven't had a good length, a good run at the organization. Why change them? Well, and in fact, if they have had a good run, perhaps you should keep them precisely because they've done a good job.
And speaking of switching out, the MCMC has announced that human rights lawyer Eric Paulson is no longer part of its consultative council. Apparently, no mention was made whether Eric Paulson was removed from the post or he had resigned. Of course, we know that there had been criticism in recent days over Eric Paulson's appointment to this consultative role for consultative board for MCMC. But the question is, what is a consultative council if not to hear from differing views from people outside the industry, from people who may not share the same worldview as you, but rather kind of keep that conversation going?
Indeed, I think, you know, Eric Paulson has actually kept judicious silence over, you know, the fact that he's no longer in this particular consultative council. It is, again, a legacy of the PH government and a time perhaps when there was a much broader view of what, you know, we mean by government in consultation with experts for civil society's inclusion in those important discussions and so on and so forth. So his removal, maybe it's not so much about qualifications in this instance, but about political posturing that's come from certain stakeholders, you know, here it is, you know, reversing the decision or the stand of a minister, even though the purported stakeholders are actually from, as it were, the same side of the political game. Here, UMNO Youth, in the person of Ashraf Wajidi, you know, taking up cudgels against the minister for allowing this to happen. So perhaps a bit of a power play, who knows?
Well, in other news, we have DAP MP for Segambut, Hannah Yeo. She's been summoned to Bukit Aman for questioning. This over a tweet she made back in March. Now, she had in that tweet inquired about the fate of the child marriage roadmap, which she had helped create as Deputy Minister of the Ministry of Women. And in that tweet, Hannah had asked what would happen to that plan under her successor, the past MP for Rantau Panjang. According to Hannah, she is being investigated under Section 505 of the Penal Code, which refers to public mischief. Now, I have to admit, Sharad, when I first read the original tweet, the one that was posted back in March, it didn't strike me particularly as unlawful. But then again, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm going to leave it up to the legal experts.
And Melissa, I'm not a police officer. I'm not exactly sure what the police officer is trying to
say. I think the police only investigate when there's a report made against it. So the police perhaps just doing their jobs in investigating or questioning, perhaps not, you know, instigated by Bukit Aman itself.
Well, we don't know. I mean, but the point really is, you know, when a former minister says, well, you know, we had this government plan and what's happened to that plan? I mean, you know, it doesn't seem to, I think, anybody really, why this might be offensive or, you know, and how this law, particular law, and we need to ask, you know, why these laws were created. What exactly was it that it was trying to prevent?
Right.
Endless amount of conversations on social media around this particular act by the police against the former deputy minister.
Well, that tweet struck me as a genuine question. And I wonder if, you know, if that wasn't an acceptable way to ask a question, what then is an acceptable way for us to ask questions? Now, asking questions is not a crime, but
Well, that's a nice insertion, Melissa. But of course, you know, things change, and in different under different administrations,
should not be a crime. And the question is, how do we ask the questions in a way where we can actually get some answers? Other news: the Attorney General has filed an application to Malaysia Kini for contempt over readers' comments in an article made last week. In an article posted last week, the AG claims that the comments were, quote, demeaning attacks on the judiciary, and that Malaysia Kini should not have published them. This is quite an interesting case to keep an eye on.
Yeah, partly it's got to do with how the law imagines responsibility, right? So is it the responsibility of an organisation or a platform to censor libel and slander, or is it essentially a free fall, and are they indemnified against the personal opinions that come through that platform? The reality of social media, the reality of the ways in which people can respond and interact with the media today, very different from what it was 30 years ago, when you might have sent a letter to the editor and it was edited before and, you know, and maybe even sent to the legal department before it was published. Today, that kind of scrutiny over comments past much more difficult when you want to keep things fresh and quick and immediate. And I think that the immediacy of social media has created huge problems around the question of libel and slander.
What struck me the most, Sharad, was when I was reading this article, it had right at the top an editor's note that following legal advice, Malaysia Kini has disabled the comment feature for that specific article. I thought that was particularly interesting. All right, speaking about freedom of expression, in just a few minutes, we're going to turn our attention to the Philippines and the case against Rappler. So stay tuned to consider this.